to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, once again broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And greetings from Baltimore, Maryland, and welcome to all of you that have joined us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Grace Hour. And we are live from our studios, friends, and looking forward to another devotional portion that we'll share with you. That'll get us started here on our Tuesday broadcast, and then, of course, we'll open those phone lines, and hopefully many of you will take the opportunity to join us live on the air and share with us your thoughts as we focus on this week's theme of Heaven Came Down. And what does Christmas mean to you, and how has it impacted your life? Well, as a believer, it certainly has impacted all of us in the most profound way possible, and we are so grateful, eternally grateful, for what we are celebrating this week and leading up, of course, to Christmas morning. Well, friends, when those phone lines are open, you can join us. Simply dial one of the following numbers, toll-free in North America. That number is 800-338-7060. Again, that is the toll-free number, 800-338-7060. The local number for those of you listening here in the Baltimore area, we want to welcome our local listeners, perhaps tuning in on WRBS 1230 on your AM dial. I'd like to welcome you folks in and remind you that you, of course, can, again, dial that local number and join us live right here from the Baltimore area. And everyone else is listening live on the internet at gracehour.org. and Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Welcome to all of you on this Tuesday afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us. We're very much looking forward to those of you that can get to a phone and reach us when the phone lines are open so that we can hear your thoughts. It may be that you even have a question. Be happy to at least to attempt to answer that question. A comment, a testimony would be great to hear from one of our listeners today. Counseling need, prayer requests, your phone calls are always welcome right here on the Grace Hour, and we very much look forward to hearing from you. Well, friends, here we are, just days away from this celebration, and when we, again, highlight our theme this week, Heaven Came Down, think about what that means. Heaven really did come down in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said that was deity in diapers. That's one way of looking at it, but it was. Think about it. When Christ came, that was God who arrived on that first Christmas morning. It was God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 reminds us of that. But let's remember that he was fully human, and that's such a source of encouragement to us, because as a human being, he was tested, tempted in all points like as we are, yet one exception, without sin. And when the scripture tells us that Christ was without sin, I mean, he was really without any sin whatsoever. And we know that he lived that impeccably perfect life in order to become a substitute for our sins, in order to become the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, to be able to take our place on Calvary's cross. So as a human being, and again, he was a man, make no mistake about it, that humanity was authentic, it was genuine, it was real. He came into the human race just like every one of us did, because he had to be a man in order to redeem men. But at the same time, we know that he was God. God in the flesh. Incredible to think about. And yet that's what the scriptures clearly teach us. He was the perfect God-man of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There's one God, one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Perfectly God, perfectly man. Those two natures united together in an indissolvable union so that he could be our Redeemer. And make no mistake about it, he came to redeem, he came to forgive, he came to die, he came to deliver us. And God delivered him to us so that he could deliver us from sin and from self. It's such a great time of the year. We celebrate it. We exalt the name of Jesus, and we are reminded over and over again of the importance of Christ coming into our world. Well, Pastor Schaller has joined us in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon as we continue to celebrate the great Christmas theme, Heaven Indeed Has Come Down.
You know, Pastor Love, we love the Bible so much and study it, and the incarnation is revealed to us in the Bible, and this is a mystery, and it's profound. It's absolutely incredible that, you know, many kings, they were babies and they became kings, but here we have a king in reverse, a king who became a baby. So all kings were babies that became kings, but this king was the King of Kings, and he became a baby. In Psalm 40, verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. I wonder what that means, that Christ delighted in doing his Father's will. This is awesome. This is in 1 John chapter 2, if we have the love of the world, we do not have the love of God. Christ had the love of God, not the love of the world. He loved to do his Father's will. What is it? Heaven sent Christ. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey as shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Yeah. Psalm Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 32, verse 2. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. What shall be that place of refuge or comfort but a man? What kind of man? The Lord has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Isaiah 49, verse 1 and verse 5. We have many Bible prophecies regarding the incarnation. This is the evidence of God's humility. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travails hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. What do we have here but the incarnation of God, that God became a man to save us. He came into the world to come down because there was no way for us to go up. There was no way for us to make progress with God. How can a clean thing come out of that which is unclean? You think of cancer. How can a man who has cancer, how can he be clean? How can he become non-cancerous? How can he, not be defiled, to use the Old Testament term? How can a saint come from a sinner? It must be the incarnation, the visitation of God amongst men in Psalm 8, that God would become a man so that man would become reconciled to God. That God would have favor on man, that man would be justified, made righteous, forgiven, redeemed. He would be bought by the blood of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Well, we have in Genesis 3 and verse 15, the great prophecy after the fall of Adam, when God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He's speaking to the serpent. Between your seed and her seed. Well, what is her seed? Christ. What is the serpent's seed? The Antichrist. What is the seed that comes from the woman but the Redeemer, the Messiah, born of a woman? Galatians chapter 4. What enmity, what opposition is there between the Messiah and the seed of Satan? The seed of the evil seed, the murder, the lying, the father of lies, from the seed of Satan and the seed of the Messiah. So the Messiah is crucified according to the prophets in the plan of God, but he overcomes the seed of the devil by the resurrection and the ascension. And he's seated on a throne, far above principalities and powers. Yes, the spirits of the devil that are in the world. The spirits, the Antichrist spirit, the lying spirit. But no worry, the Messiah, the one that delights to do the Father's will, has come down to us, that God sent his Son. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, with the authority of the Father, the ministry of the Father, the ministry of heaven on the earth. This is something we are privileged to be part of. This is something that resonates in our heart and in our spirit. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in these days, in this time. So, Genesis 3:15. He puts enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head. This word bruises, crush, that he, the seed of the woman, will crush the head of the serpent. When you kill a serpent, you crush the head. The serpent is dead. He may move back and forth, but he, in effect, is dead. When did this happen? At the cross. This is when the poison, the venom of the serpents in Numbers 21 with the people bit by serpents, if they would look up the brazen serpent on the cross. Brass speaks of judgment. Christ was judged on the cross for us. If we look at him, we will be healed. For the seed of the woman overcomes the seed of the devil. The seed of faith in the Messiah overcomes the seed of unbelief, the seed of hatred, the seed of bitterness, the seed of unbelief and skepticism, the seed of anger, the seed of lying, the seed of pride. This seed, Christ, has crushed the head of the serpent, and the serpent has bruised his heel. That means that Jesus' heel, or his foot, so to speak, was bruised, but not totally debilitated. He was hurt, but he overcame. His head is intact. His heart is intact. In his walk, he was hit a road speed bump, so to speak. He was he had to fight a battle. He was hurt by it, but he ultimately overcame it. He was hurt, but it was the devil that was defeated and destroyed. John 14 and verse 30, he said, I will not speak much longer with you because the prince of this world has come. Let me read that to get it exactly correct. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Yeah, the devil has nothing in me. That's no connection, no handle, no baggage kind of handle, no way he can connect with me. He has nothing to do with me. He has nothing in me, but he is coming. I will not talk much with you, but he is coming. He is coming by the scribes and the Pharisees across the Kidron Valley. He is coming with clubs and torches. He is coming with the nails for the cross, the scourge, the stripes, by whose stripes we are healed. The devil is coming, and I will be taken and killed, but on the third day raised again. I am from heaven, he said. He said that in John and chapter 6. I am from above, you are from below. And the world, chapter 8, verse 23, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. He is not of the flesh of Adam. He is made in the likeness of sinful flesh, meaning you could look at a crowd and could not identify him. He is just like a man. But he's more than a man. He is the Son of God without sin. And he said, I therefore that you shall die in your sins, for you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. But I am from above, you are from below. So, in closing our word today, I would like you to reflect on the reality of the incarnation, and to recognize the authority that we have over the world and Satan, who is in the world, who is rejecting Christ. Isn't it strange that there's no room for Christ to be born in the inn? Isn't it interesting when he dies, he's outside the city walls? Isn't it interesting that today he's not welcomed in our society, but we individually have him? He is part of our, he is at the very center of our lives, for we have been born of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for enlightening us. Thank you for opening our hearts and moving in us by your Spirit. Thank you, God, for your love and your grace toward us. Thank you, God, that you overcame death and the devil and sin. Thank you, God, that you care for us more than anyone in the world cares for us. The psalmist said, no man cares for my soul, but we know that Jesus really does care for our soul. He saved us. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that loves you. He's the Messiah. He's the one that came down to save you. Amen.
And amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for coming. Imagine, had he not come, we would be forever lost, separated from God, forever in our sins, forever in our blindness, and forever without any peace. And really, he saved us from so much. And there's so much more we could say, and we want to open the phone lines at this time and invite you into the conversation. So you can share your thoughts with us as we quickly approach this Christmas holiday and celebrate the birth of our Savior. Amazing. Yeah, quite a thought, Pastor Shalla. Many, you know, kings were babies. They came into the world as babies and became kings, but Christ was king, the King of Kings, and became a baby. That's amazing when you think about it.
Yes, he became vulnerable, weak, crucified in weakness. It was strange. He lived and walked with us without tooting his own horn. Actually, it says that in Isaiah 42, it's read a certain way. I think I can find it here, that he did not yell in the street, was not yelling and screaming with a megaphone, right? You know the verse, yes, chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, God is upholding him, even in quietness and confidence. My elect, in whom my soul delights, imagine God delighting in him. I put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Pastor Love, how would you unpackage, how would you unpack that verse? He will not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street.
I think Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, said essentially just that in different language, but the being in the form of God, you know, being in the form of, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and came into this world. And then, you know, it was this downward trend. Not only did he come into this world, humbled himself to do that, but then he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's more humility. And then what do we read next? Wherefore God has highly exalted him. If he did not take that road of and that path of humility, you know, not lifting up his voice in the street, not when he had the opportunity to, you know, call legions of angels to rescue him. Didn't do it. I'm just thinking of this verse in Matthew's gospel where they said, well, again, his enemies said, he saved others. Himself, he cannot save, which in essence is the gospel message.
Yes, he saved others. I mean, he cannot save him. He can, but he doesn't because he's not promoting himself. What humility and trust and faith when it looks like you're the underdog and you die in that kind of status of shame and weakness. I mean, it's tough to die in shame and weakness, you know. It's tough. You don't want to do that. Especially, you want to have honor.
Especially if you have the power to change it.
Yeah.
Which he did, but he didn't exercise it.
Right. He could have said, you know, this is a disgrace for me to die this way, and so I better flex my muscle and show them who I am. But he didn't cry or lift up his voice in the street. He wasn't political. He wasn't pushing an agenda. He wasn't protecting himself, and he wasn't promoting himself. He would always do what the Father wanted, and that was how he served. And little beknownst to us, it was exactly right on, exactly what God wanted. And the Father was delighting in him, even though the world is scorning him and throwing him away. He was a throwaway. That Jesus was a throwaway. But he's a throwaway so that all those in the world that are throwaways would have good company, could look to him and just say, that's the kind of God that I want. I want him to identify with me, know me, and save me.
His enemies called him a friend of sinners. You could not have given him a better title, because that's what he was.
Yes.
Sinners have never had a better friend than in Jesus. Well, friends, we've reached the end of the first half hour here in the Grace Hour on this Tuesday afternoon, and a number of you have weighed in on Facebook Live. We'll get to those comments in just a moment. But we're looking forward to having you join us on the phone lines. Fill up the lines. Give us a call. What are your thoughts as we continue to share the glory of heaven coming down? Again, all kings, they were babies who became kings. Christ, he was the King of kings who became a child, a baby, humbled himself. And God has highly exalted him. Thanks for joining us. If you have to leave, we understand. Everyone else, stay right where you are. Another half hour is coming right up. And for those of you that have to leave us today, we'll be back tomorrow at the same time. You can join us then. We're back with you live at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We've signed off on our local station here in the Baltimore area, but we're with you live on these various platforms, friends, and the phone lines, of course, are open. This would be the right time for you to grab that phone and dial one of these numbers, 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number in all of North America. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us, friends, at 410-483-3700. Carol is joining us and reminding us that Christmas is Christ and he's the gift of God. Teresa is joining us and sending her blessings, Christmas blessings to everyone. William Jeff says amen. And R.G. Campbell also amening the broadcast today. Brian Odell also. And Tess over in Malmo, Sweden says we need to reckon on this. It's a glorious reality. Bethlehem's major crib became the link that bound a lost world to a loving God and brought us into a new relationship with our Creator. Merry Christmas from Malmo, Sweden. Carol Rhodes is listening. She's in Brooklyn, New York. And she says, I'm glad you enjoyed the lunch that we prepared on Sunday, and it was delightful, and the fellowship was even better. Thank you, Carol. And Pastor Sturge Gorham says, doesn't 2 Corinthians 8:9 say it so wonderfully? Indeed, it does. And again, Thea is joining us as well. And Rick is joining us on the phone from Las Vegas, Nevada, from the Greater Grace World Outreach Ministry there in Las Vegas. Rick, welcome to the broadcast.
Good day, Pastor Love. You know, I wasn't sure whether or not to call in, but you ended the first half hour there with talking about what a friend we have in Jesus. And so I took that as a sign to call in, because that was a message I just gave to a woman who called our prayer hotline. apparently she's been going through it this last year, and man, my heart really went out to her, but we had good prayer. But before I forget, I wanted to wish you, Pastor Schaller, and everybody there at GGWO, Merry Christmas. You know, Jesus is the reason for this season and every season, so.
Thank you.
But maybe when we're done here, and I'll try to keep it quick so you can get to other callers, but this woman, Sue, called in, she's lost her home. You know, she's homeless. She's lost a son to accidental death, and I guess she lost another son sometime before that. And she just feels like when she called in, she was on the verge of tears, as you can understand. And she was just calling for some prayer, and I encouraged her in the Lord, and told her what a friend we have in Jesus, amongst many other things that I did tell her, and in prayer. And I encouraged her to come join us. She says she's not a church-going woman, but I said, well, it's up to her, no pressure. But I gave her an invitation to come join us on Sunday so we could love her up in Christ and, magnify her her prayer to Christ. We've been seeing some wonderful results and great report through prayer. So, that's just calling in to it's been a while since I've called in, really enjoy the Grace Hour. So wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and see if we couldn't put the power of prayer for our sister Sue.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Rick. And how long have you had this prayer line set up out there?
Well, I gave you one of our cards when I visited a conference, but we're going on, I think it's our second year now. And, in any case, we sometimes we'll get busy, sometimes we won't. But we get calls sometimes at 3:30 in the morning. But I always look forward to them because it actually makes me feel a lot better. Even with some of these very emotional calls, because it's just what we're encouraged to do. You know.
Amen. That's great, and I can imagine a lot of people out there would hopefully take advantage of it.
Well, you know, the wonderful thing is, I mean, she didn't wait. Some of these people, you know, they'll hold on to this card for a month or two, and they'll finally call in, because I always kind of just, you know, debrief with them after the prayer, and they're feeling a little bit better, find out when and where they got the card. And it sounds like she got the card at about 7 o'clock this morning down on Boulder Highway, which is, I guess, almost like one of the areas in town that's sort of like Skid Row, so to speak. And I guess she's been homeless for a better part of a year now and just been going through it. But in any case, about 7 o'clock, and then she called me right around 10 o'clock. So it didn't take her long to just go ahead and decide to approach with faith. So
right.
I built her up. I told her God loves her, we love her, and there's nothing she can do about it. So I think I really feel good that she'll be joining us this Sunday so that we can just love her up in Christ, you know.
Yeah, that'll be our prayer as well. Father, we pray for Sue. A lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, but we pray that you'd use that in her life to lead her into this local assembly, Father, where she can hear about your great love and how you can take even the worst that happens to us and turn it into a great triumph. So, again, lead her, and we pray that you'd really put that burden on her heart to come out and join the saints there in Las Vegas. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Pastor Love, thank you.
Thanks,
Pastor Love, what comes to mind with folks that are trying to make their way out of, to see a change, what comes to mind is, as we just heard from Rick, turn to Christ and receive. Receive the love. Turn to Christ and anticipate the Spirit of God filling me, that I would be filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit affecting my life and teach me. So we have Galatians 5, I want to read this, verse 15, but 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So here's, you know, let's take here in Baltimore, a homeless person or somebody struggling with drugs, and they try to get their way back to God or start with God for the first time. And it is this is really what's needed, to walk in the Spirit. This is where my life changes. It's the Spirit of God is our teacher, and this is God himself. God himself in the believer. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh because you walk in the Spirit. So your desires change. Your focus changes. And you have found Christ. And Christ is giving you new desire. And it is not the lust of the flesh. It's actually to glorify God. And that you need to meet new people that have the same Spirit, because if I go back to those same people, they do not have the Spirit of God. They have the lust of the flesh, and they continue in their drinking or their behaviors. They continue in their lust, their passion, their complaining, their bitterness, and there's no way out of there. I'm not going to get out of it because they are filled with that stuff, and so am I, except now I've turned to Christ, and he fills me with the Spirit, and I don't want that anymore. So I walk away from it. I've got to find this. I want to have fellowship with people that are not fulfilling the lust of the flesh.
It's a life of separation. I mean, that separation has to happen, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's no being sanctified or set apart by God without him really separating us. I remember I tried to be set apart. I tried both. I tried both. I did. I thought I can stay with this group of people that I've known my whole life, and they're my friends, and they're my associations, and I will let God do his work while I remain with them. And God said, it's not going to happen. I'm going to have to isolate you. I'm going to have to separate you. And then I'm going to do something even greater than that. I'm going to bring you into a new realm of freedom and life and fellowship with other believers that are like-minded, like-souled.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a big proponent of this. I'm really working on it because how many people I have seen that come in the church and get delivered, how many people, their lives are changed, and this because of the Holy Spirit. You see, this has to happen because God came down. I mean, God came down into this world, and this has to work. I mean, it's got to be real. If God came down in Christ, and Christ went to heaven and seated at the right hand, and then he sends the Holy Spirit so that this effect, this is how the pagan Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire. This was happening so much that they turned to Christ. And Christianity did not die. It thrived. By the way, it's the fastest growing religion today. It's 4 times faster than the next one down the line, which is Islam. But the Christianity is growing 4 or 5 times faster because this works. This is the promise and the actual work of God in a person's life. And they do not do the things that they would have done in Galatians 5 and verse 17, but are led of the Spirit, and they are not under the law, but they are under grace, and they stop the fornication, the adultery, the uncleanliness, the lasciviousness, the idolatry, the witchcraft, the hatred, the strife, the seditions, the heresies, the envyings, the murderings, the drunkenness, the revelings, and such like. of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what do? I am now living in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. So this is real.
It is real. And it's interesting because when that separation and that sanctification process begins in our lives, perhaps there are some that say, oh, well, you can't be with us anymore because you're better now than we are. You know, you're a good person. We're bad. But that has nothing to do with it. This process of sanctification is the work of God in our lives, and it begins at the moment of salvation. And God's in the business now of making us and conforming us into the image of his Son.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no apology that's necessary. We love those people, and if they would like to enjoy the peace and the love and the joy that we're experiencing, then come over. Mm. Come with us.
Yes.
And you'll find out it's just as real for you as it is for me.
And you know, the lust of your flesh is not such a great deal. You live in the lust of your flesh and you can never be satisfied. You live in the lust of your flesh, you find yourself in trouble one day and say, how did I get here? How can I get out of this? I don't like it. I've got broken relationships that are just scattered through the history of my past. I just have broken relationships. I have broken hearts. I have the broken promises. I have broken loyalties. I have a bad name. I have ruined my life, somebody could say. Or I am in despair, or I am unhappy, or I'm depressed. Well, this is what God wants to say to you, that turn to me, come unto me. He said it in Amos chapter 4. He said, you have not returned to me. He said it five times. You have not returned to me. And he gave the reason. He gave what he said, you know, you had famine, but you had not returned to me. He had another problem they had, they did not. And now we have COVID, and they will not return to me. Or there's a depression, but you will not return to me. So we have the Amos saying, prepare to meet thy God, so turn unto me.
And, you know, I remember when that separation process was taking place in my life, I thought to myself, well, you know, God, you're taking all of these people away. You're taking my friends away. I'm going to be isolated. I'm going to be alone. Did we have any idea that God would bring us into such a large place with believers? And I mean, you've experienced it, Pastor Schaller. You know, you left your hometown of Rome, New York, but, you know, you found yourself in Finland and in Hungary and in the former Soviet Union and around the globe. And as you have said, and it's always great to think about it, you know, if you parachuted out of a plane anywhere around the world, you could probably land very close to someone that you know in the kingdom of God. I mean, that's incredible.
Have I said that?
You have, yeah.
Oh, I...
Yeah. And it's true.
Well,
because...
I mean, we do know a lot of people around.
Yeah,
I mean, there are 7.5 billion people. I don't know how many of them I know. But in any case, there's a lot of God's people around the world, whether we may not know them personally, but there's a lot of believers in the world, and there should be more. And the point is, this living God of ours is a humble God, and that's what's so beautiful about him. He is very humble. He is, infinitely so. And we enjoy this relationship and nature that he has, that's been imparted to us so that we have fellowship with him.
Yeah, that fellowship is so rich too. And we want to mention this, friends, that tomorrow night we'll be having our Christmas Eve service. It's not going to be on Christmas Eve, but it's our candlelight service. It's our regularly scheduled midweek service at 7 p.m. here at the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, and everyone is welcome. A special time of worship, praise, a message highlighting the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be greatly, greatly encouraged. And again, sometimes Christmas comes with its own troubles. Sometimes, even during the Christmas season, there can be some setbacks, some heartache, even some tragedy. Well, again, let your heart be greatly encouraged and comforted by gathering together with God's people and being reminded that when God sent his Son into the world, he had you on his mind, and he came to redeem you, forgive you, remove the blindness from your heart, open your eyes to the reality of who he was and what he has done for you. So join us. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore. Our zip code is 21206, and there's plenty of well-lit parking. Come on out and worship the God who humbled himself, stepped into our world, the one who they call Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you, friends, at 800-338-7060. Dial that toll-free number wherever you may be in North America, Canada, and the United States. Or if you're in the Baltimore area, in the greater Maryland, give us a call at 410-483-3700. Join us live on this, the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. So many great thoughts just revolving in our hearts and minds regarding the incarnation, what it means, what it's resulted in our lives. And we get this great blessing and privilege, as we just heard, to be able to walk or be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
In Hebrews 1:3, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, we have the definition for Christ, the exact expression of God's character, of his person. And again, when he brings the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Imagine Christ being brought into the world and God saying, let all the angels of God worship him. Well, God is the only one that's to be worshipped. Well, this is Christ is worshipped when he is brought into the world. He is the first begotten. That could be the resurrection when he ascends, that he's worshipped. It could also be at Bethlehem when he becomes a man incarnated as God, and the angels are worshipping. They are singing like to the shepherds and saying, goodwill toward men, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is amazing. We see Jesus, Hebrews 2:9, and by the way, Book of Hebrews is such an incredible book for this subject, who was made a little lower than the angels, Jesus. We see Jesus a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So he became a man so he could suffer death. That's why he came to take it on. He was the one who can take on death and overcome death. Well, where did death come from? Well, the curse. Adam, the you eat thereof, you will die. Well, now comes Christ to take it on and reverse it and be righteous, die on the cross to take the penalty, but then having so much favor with God that he has highly exalted him and put him at his right hand and says that the angels are to worship him. Just like Thomas said, I will not believe unless I put my hand in his side and the nail prints, and he does, and he says, my Lord and my God. Well, he's a Jew. They are monotheistic. They do not have any other God. There's no God in any image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or under the earth. There's nothing made in the image of God, but this is a man, and he's worshipped as God because he is God. And Thomas worshipped him as God, and Christ received the worship. This is the incarnation that is the mark for the holiday season, and for us to contemplate it, meditate on it, and embrace it is our privilege and our joy. It never gets old. It continues to just live and make it clear to us that we are part of something extraordinary. Come on. This is extraordinary. Hebrews 10, verse 5, wherefore when he comes into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body hast thou prepared me. This is what pleased God, his obedient son.
The gospel message. Let's go to the phones. Joining us somewhere north of Memphis, Tennessee, our good friend, Trucker Dan. Dan, welcome.
Hello. Wonderful topic. I love the book of Hebrews. It is an amazing book filled with all kinds of wisdom. I just want to tell you that I think about you guys up there in Baltimore often, and please, what I hear when I listen to the program, I think you have learned how to glorify a risen Christ very well.
Well, we're glad to hear from you. We're sorry about the loss with your wife, with the Lord, and we also think of you on the road and pray for your safety and your ministry to people by phone and by all means when you're on the road, and the work that you do. You're such a hard-working guy. And just pray for you and the transitions that you've gone through as a man of God. You're faithful to God. You lost your son. You recently lost your wife. We can identify in some measure. We're sorry for that. But we also know that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. And that we will one day, hallelujah, amen, we will one day be in a place with an innumerable company of angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. We're going to a better place.
That's it. And that's because we have a promise from God. We cannot lie. It's an eternal word. And he gave it to us before the foundation of the world. It spans across time. Time doesn't stop it. And you are a minister of his word. Spread this news to other people so they can understand what it is he did. We're going to be celebrating his birthday, but we're really celebrating his life. When my wife passed away and she went to heaven, I don't have that bad of a time with it because I know she's in heaven and I know she's with her son and she's with my father. She's with my pastor and many people I know that are in heaven. And for me, it's like now I have that much more to look forward to when I go. And I almost say, you know, I'm ready. Let's go. I don't have to drive the truck no more. I don't have to put up the traffic anymore. Everything will be good. And then I'm still here. I'm still driving. I still have my friends all over the country, and God is still in heaven, and the truth is still the truth.
That's right.
And we really have something to look forward to.
And I got to say, I know we all need this encouragement, but that is, Lord's not done with me yet. You know, like Paul said to the Philippians, I'd like to go. I'm between two, going or staying, but for your sake, it's better for me to be here for a while. So That's in God's hands, but I understand that there are people that just say, hey, I'm ready to go, and the Lord could counter and say, I know you're ready to go, but you are on the earth glorifying me. You do have patience. You do have faith. I have prepared you. I have a mission for you. I'm not done yet, so hold your horses.
Pastor Love and I were the first people to meet up at the church. And he knows what a prayer of faith is, because when him and Bill Allison prayed in the parking lot, that it was God's will that he would bring me back to the church there. And then shortly after that, the very next week, I was actually back on a Sunday, and 45 Sundays in a row.
Wow.
God listens to the prayer.
Amen.
Yeah, he does.
It's because
amen. He does. Wow, that's good. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
All the encouragement we can have is this, that he died once for all forever by one offering. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. And verse 10:29 says, if we don't really believe that with all our hearts, when we stand before him, we're going to really have a problem. So we don't want to doubt what God has done. We have to believe.
Yeah. Great thoughts, Dan.
The Bible, Dan. Love you guys.
Thanks.
Come on by. Come on by.
We miss you.
We got a Christmas present for you. I got one in my office. It's a box of candy.
Well,
you're in Memphis. You're north of Memphis. Now get over here and get your box of candy.
Okay, I'll learn how to drive up there and park in the parking lot when you learn to call me on the phone more often.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, could you speak, make your point more clear and be more direct?
Yes, I'll learn to be assertive. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
We're out of time, friends. Thank you. Want to shout out to the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baku, Azerbaijan. They said thanks for the great program. Blessings to you and to all of you. Blessed Christmas to the precious saints there. Thanks, friends. We do want to remind you once again about tomorrow night. Make your plans to join us at 7 p.m. for our candlelight service, a great time of worship and a time to pour all kinds of courage into your soul as we celebrate Christ together here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. Until tomorrow's broadcast, God bless you.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.